Listen, Delon, I'm just gonna tell you right now, I'm in rough shape.
Oh no, what's going on? Are you constipated?
No. Why does your mind always go to poop? You have a fetish.
I have a problem. Because the GI tract ain't smooth, the life is messed up.
Yo. Well, get a squatty potty and stop talking to me about it. No, it's not. It's not a constipation thing. It's just like a tired thing and a back thing. My back hurts so badly.
Have one of those, the trainer things for your shoulders is to like be sit up straight?
Yeah, I don't know if those work. I had one of those. It's like a little, it's like a backpack without the backpack.
Right.
It's supposed to me. But then I read that those are bad for you.
In what way?
I don't know. I didn't read that much. I just read the
she read a headline. She read some clickbait. She saw something on social media.
I was like, that's enough for me.
Ooh. Wait, no.
Listen. wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it. Welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says you're probably not drinking enough water. And if you are drinking enough water, you're peeing all the time. And guess what? Doesn't get better. I asked my doctor and she just said, no, that's it. You're going to pee a lot. I'm for Jessica Ramsey. I'm an actress. I'm
a producer. You're having so many body things right now. You're having so many body things. I think it's just old age, girl.
Yeah, it is. Let me try to get through this opening. Y'all know who I am, but if you don't, I'm a writer, I'm an actress, and I'm a former graphic designer.
Yo, we are just so, you're both under the water right now. Yeah. And I'm Delon Grant. I am an actor, a singer, a photographer, and a writer. And this week, you guys, we are doing one of our signature round robin games. So instead of devoting this week's episode, so instead of...
That's what you get for talking shit about me.
Absolutely. So instead of devoting this week's episode to just one topic, Fran and I are going to take turns sharing different topics that are weighing on our spirit. And then, per usual, we will do what we do and we'll pitch our fixes for them. So this is round robin. Let me fix it.
Okay. Are you okay with me going first?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So we talk about therapy all of the time on this podcast. I wish that I was getting some sort of commission or something for talking about therapy, but I don't. I have had the same therapist for 6 years now, and I love her very dearly, but she's in New York, so all of her sessions are remote, and I've been like, I know. And I'm
paying out of pocket, right? Too. That doesn't sound like it's in network.
And I'm paying out of pocket. Yeah. It's a lot. And I'm just trying to figure out what's next. And I want somebody who's in person. And so here's the thing that I'm struggling with. How do I find someone and like bring them up to speed? Like, I don't want to have to get to know a new therapist.
Oof, girl. You know, I'm on my second therapist. So I get it. I understand. And breaking up with a therapist is hard.
I really don't want to break up with her. I like her so much. And so like, here's what I would love. I saw someone on TikTok doing like a PowerPoint for their new therapist of like, here's who I've dated. Here's where I've worked.
Not a dissertation to catch
it
them
was
up.
Kind of, it was like a TED talk. It was amazing, which is like normally my vibe, but like, I don't have time or energy for that. So like, I want someone to build like an app or something where you could introduce your, like connect your old therapist with your new therapist so they can like bring them up to speed. So that
how much are they charging for that? Because if I'm a therapist, I'm not doing homework for you. I'm meeting you in real time. I'm not watching your TED talk. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I haven't raised the funds. I haven't, you know, this is a shark take. Sharks, I'm coming to you with an idea. Now you guys decide. I have not
worked it out.
I just want Shawnee to talk to whoever my new person is and be like, yeah, girl, she always talk about that career.
not shading you.
I want her to tell whoever the person is like all of my shit so that when I start with the new person, it's just like we could just hit the ground running. Yeah. I don't want to have to like give them the backstory.
Well, I mean, I would offer up that, like, I hear you, because as somebody, again, who's hadn't, you know, gotten a second therapist, it's something you need to go through your timeline of things. Let it come up organically. You know, like, you'll be like, oh, I have issues with my parent because of this thing, this and this thing. And what I think will happen is you'll discover new ways to talk about that, because you've already worked through some of those things with your prior therapist. Yeah. And so you'll be like, well, these are the things that are important. Like, here's the fucking root of the problem.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to go through when you were 3 or when you were 5 or when you were 10. However, you should probably tell them that anyway, if that's kind of like tectonic plate moments in your life. But
I think what I've just grown so comfortable with my current therapist. Like, I love that when I talk about my friends, she's like, because you know that's how she gonna do. Oh. And I'm like, right, okay, thank you. And Shani's like, one thing about Sham. And I'm like, exactly.
She knows
my friends. She knows, like, all of my shit. It's so, I love it.
I know, it's so true. I talk about the work that we do in my therapy a lot. I'm like, well, the work you and I are doing together, Jarrell, my therapist name is Jarrell, because it is work, right? But I often think, I'm like, it's another relationship. It's a relationship where he knows more about me than most people. Like,
and you know nothing about them.
Not a thing. And I know that you want somebody in person. Yeah. I've never met this person. I don't know how tall he is. He's always sitting in a chair. He's in Brooklyn. I could not tell you where the office is.
But you do remotely too?
Always virtual. I mean, because, you know, I'm Carmen San Diego. I'm always in a new city.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
But it works for me. What is the thing? Why do you want it to be in person?
I just, the whole, it's not Zoom. We use like a special therapy version, you know, whatever. It's just like, it's just not, it just sucks. Like, there's always a problem with it. There's always some sort of like delay or technical issue.
Right.
And I feel like stupid sitting on my couch crying, looking into a computer screen.
Oh, girl, I love
it. Flex is always like in my face. And I think that, like, the act of being like, I'm leaving my home and I'm going to my therapeutic space, I feel like that would be good for me. And yeah, I just, and honestly, like, the out of network thing of it all is like a big part of it for me. I'm like, I need
that
somebody.
Out of network thing is big.
Yeah. Wait, I just wanted to go back, because you said you've never seen your therapist in person. One time I saw my therapist at Afropunk. And we just, like, looked at each other, did a head nod, and kept going. And then we never talked about it.
Listen. The same thing happened to me and my PCP, my primary care physician.
Really?
I saw him at a big, like, gay circuit party, because I have a gay black physician. I saw him at a big gay circuit party. We were both waiting at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at each other for a minute, held gaze. And then went back to it, didn't say a word.
Oh, that's so weird.
It's weird to you.
It's weird.
Oh, I respect it so much.
But I kind of felt like, my therapist would be at Afropunk. She's so cool.
I was shocked to see my PCP, but I do, in hindsight, I do wish I would have had the gumption to be like, hey, how are you? And like, just acknowledge his presence. But I do respect being like, hey, I see you.
You're not at work right now. You're not on the clock.
You're not at work. Not especially a therapist, yo, because like, they know all your shit. They know all your shit.
You're like, know? Yeah, you know who I'm here with. You know.
Okay. This is him. This is him right here.
Don't worry. I'm not partaking in any of this. You and I have talked about that before.
She's also like, is that the one you talk about? Didn't we say we weren't doing that anymore? Ready?
Oh yeah, just so you know, I'm gonna be late to this week's session because of this right now.
Right, or it's gonna be a heavy session. Ready?
Okay, so your advice, your fix, is to just rip the band-aid off and find somebody. How do you break up with a therapist?
Listen, I was with my other therapist for 3 years.
Oh, you were trying to break up with him for
Fran, it took me 6 months. It took me 6 months.
Why did it
and
take
here's
you
the
so
thing.
Long?
Well, partially because I'm, you know, I'm a pillow. I'm like mush inside. And so I'm like, okay, I'll stay. But he also like kept trying to break up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, well, I think, you know, I hear you, but like, maybe we should give it some time, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we should. So he like convinced me to stay a little bit longer. But then he was going out of network, and I was like, oh no, I'm not paying you $200 a session. I come here every week. I don't have $800 a month for you, you know, and you're not helping me that much. But I think it's just about being like, understanding that it's time to graduate, you know, and you have really good reasons. You have the out of network thing, you have the coastal thing, and you also want to graduate to like seeing someone in the flesh. Like, that's a legitimate reason to be like, this has to evolve. It's hard though.
It's so hard. Like, I feel choked up even thinking about breaking up with her. We've been through so much.
You have. How long have you been with her?
6 years.
Wow. Yeah, that is a long time.
The divorce, moving cross country, like all the different jobs, the strikes, COVID. We've been through everything together. And again, I don't know this. I don't know her, but like, she's been, you know, she's been my guiding light.
You break up with her though, and meanwhile, Shawnee's like, oh god damn, thanks. That bitch is gone. It was
I wonder how she talks to her therapist about me.
I wonder if she talks about you at
she
all to her therapist.
She has to.
Really? It's like that.
I don't mean like I'm so special. I just mean like she has to talk about, you know, her clients and her work and her, it might be one line. It's probably not like a whole thing, but I'm sure she says something.
Well, listen, my sister's a therapist, and I say to her all the time, I'm like, girl, I don't know how you do it. 8 hours a day? 8 hours a day you sit and listen to people? And like, you know, whatever. We're pretty solid people, like foundational and mental health, whatever. We're working on it. But can you imagine if somebody like is going through an acute problem and you have to be on the maximum? My therapist said to me recently, we were talking about something, and he was like, you know, I've seen some stuff.
Of course.
Seen some stuff. And I was like, damn, man, I can't imagine what you've had to do, how you've had to help people. Like, that is like, I mean, they should be given the Pulitzer. Like, fuck.
Yeah. And that's why they need a therapist of their own. That's why I went on vacation for a month and left me in a lurch.
Your friend was out here hurting, Shawty. Your friend was hurting. She said,
and that's why I started being like, I got to figure this out. I need my therapy, and I need somebody that is, you know, present. And again, no shade to her. She's allowed to have her own life. But to your point, like, yes, they need that time off. And that would be part of the service that I haven't fully fleshed out. When you leave, when you go on a little vacation, you get linked up with somebody. You get like a substitute.
You got to put up an away message.
Okay. So, go for it. You're up next.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of my round robin topics and fixes today are going to be like Seinfeld episodes. They're just like really small things that are going to totally age me. You're going to be like, really, sir? You are such an old man. So the first one is, why is there never cold water in the restroom faucet when you go to wash your hands in a public restroom? Tell me that.
Dawn. Okay. Listen, first of all, go back in the timeline. You want cold water? I want warm water.
I meant hot water. You know what I meant. Why is it only cold water in the faucet? Like, every time you've gone to a public restroom, even if they're like two knobs on the left and the right, like hot,
they're cold, always both cold.
Always both cold.
Always. Always.
And then the argument I know is like, okay, well, you just have to wait for it to get. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
It's probably the restaurant cutting corners. They're like, we don't want to pay for hot water in the bathroom and in the kitchen.
And in the kitchen, they should be connected by the same unit. What is the problem?
No, they're probably siphoning water from the next door neighbors or something.
Well, they're in New York. Yes, ma'am. But the other thing, like the other issues around it is they're always advertising that employees must wash their hands with this cold water.
And I would think, I mean, I can't, there's probably some scientific backing here, but don't you need the hot water to like kill the germs?
This is my point. During COVID, they gave us a whole, like, you know, procedure. 20 seconds, rinse.
Sing soap, happy birthday while you're washing your hands.
Sing happy. They got me singing songs. Mm-hmm. And like, but there's no hot water to kill the germs. And I will say this. The hand sanitizer thing is a lovely fix. It's an attempt at fixing it, right? Another option. I don't really have a great fix for this. Mm. I just think it's a problem that we need to solve. because I do think the hand sanitizer is like an option.
Okay, hand sanitizer. I was going to say you can have a little portable Bunsen burner you bring with you.
Portable Bunsen burner. I hate you so much.
You're not like in the bathroom. It's like you
with the chemistry set.
Yes, you've got a little what are those called? Not a flask. What is it called?
A beaker?
You put the water in a beaker.
You could bring back the bathroom attendant at like big nightclubs. Oh. Obviously I go to clubs. They have like a bathroom attendant that charges you $10 for a stick of gum.
I have a question for you. I don't understand why some places have a bathroom attendant. I don't understand. Is it like a thing that you go to a place and you say, hey, I want to be your bathroom attendant, make a few dollars? Or does the place hire a bathroom attendant? I could never figure out why they have one.
I mean, I think back in the day, a bathroom attendant was also like an elevator operator, right? Mm-hmm. They were like there to provide you any of the service. I imagine for like, I don't know what it was like in a woman's bathroom, but like maybe they had tampons or something.
Yeah.
Like that,
oh, they have everything in there.
But these days I go to like these gay clubs and I think it's also like, girl, don't be having sex in there.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, they're monitoring who's in the bathroom.
That makes sense.
You know, who's doing drugs in the bathroom and being like, mm-hmm. knock, knock, knock. No, we're not doing that here.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, in the ladies' room, that's not an issue. I always just have felt...
You don't be fucking in the bathroom?
No. I mean, not to my... I haven't seen it happen. Maybe it is, but I have not seen it happen. I haven't seen a bathroom attendant in a long time, but whenever I do see them, I always feel like... I feel like awkward, like I'm washing my hands and they're looking at me. And I'm like, and I'm like, oh my God, do I tip you? Like, but you didn't do anything.
That part.
But I also... I don't need anything from you. And they're like, here's a napkin. And I'm like, I don't.
They like pull out the paper towel. Yeah, totally. The other thing I was going to say is that they have elevated their game because like there are some bars, gay bars in particular in New York, that they'll have a bathroom attendant for whatever reason, as we discussed. But like, if I don't have cash for tips, I love when they go, oh, here's my Venmo. They have a
hell
QR code right there. They go,
hell
bring it,
yeah.
It.
A little QR code?
Yes, girl. I'm into them for that.
Okay, this is not a real fix because I have another topic, but can someone make QR codes not ugly? Why are they so ugly?
I mean, isn't that like the ones and zeros of it all? Like the way that the camera recognizes it? Is that it's like
I feel like somebody can figure that out. I just like, it's such a convenient thing, but like when I see it on a business card, I'm like, ugh, it's just, I hate it.
You know, I think some of them, the ones I see on TV, because you know my news programs, they've like made them into circles and like different colors, so they try to spice them up and put their logo in the center of it, but then they still have the like dots around it.
Yeah, the dot part is what I
what would you make it, like a bird?
I don't know. I just feel like there's got to be a better way. I don't know. I don't like how it looks. I don't have a fix. I'm just putting it out there. Class, somebody out there will figure out how to do
it. The fix that I might have for this faucet situation is, don't they have like infrared things that like can kill germs and shit on your hands?
I don't know.
So maybe like an infrared situation, like you just go wop wop under a thing.
and it says wop wop. you know what? I will say science is not my strong suit. I could not tell you.
I mean, it's also moot because if y'all didn't know, most men don't wash their hands when they leave the bathroom anyway. Mm. I see y'all. I see y'all go to the stall, pull your pants all the way down, pee, and then leave.
Maybe what they need is, if the infrared thing does actually kill germs, instead of having it at the sinks, it should just be right when you walk in, like a full body infrared scan.
Just clean everything. Because you're dirty.
Nasty. Kind of like when you're at the TSA and you have to stand in there with your hands up and it spins around you. What if you had to do that when you entered and exited the bathroom before you
and
left?
And they were also... I would also love a diagnostic if they could. They'd be like, your kidneys are failing. Okay.
They're like, you also need to eat more potassium.
Totally.
I think that that's great, especially since, you know, we're not out here giving out affordable healthcare, free healthcare. Go to the bathroom, get a little scan.
A little preventative, right?
I love that.
All right. So what's your next fix?
Okay. Well... All right, class, this is safe space. You know, your body, your choice. I don't understand why everyone's veneers are so white. Why? If you're going to get fit, first of all, have you seen how they put these things on? If y'all have them, bless God. You. But like they drill down your teeth. They give you a little shark teeth.
Two nubs.
And they only last 10 years. You have to get them.
Are you kidding?
No, they don't last forever. Wow. And people are going out of the country to get them done. And then there's like not regulations. People are doing like living room veneers. It's a lot. It's a lot. And listen, again, your body, your choice. I just want the people to consider off-white. Your natural teeth are not bright white. You look like you got a fucking pack of 8.5 by 11s in your mouth. Your mouth.
It does look like some chiclets. Remember that gum? It looks like some chiclet pearls.
And listen, I like a white tooth. I like a white tooth. I love my...
mine were white, right?
I drink too much coffee, but yeah, I drink my little whitening stuff. I use a whitening toothpaste. But it's like they don't give people the option of like the in-between. It's like an off-white color.
Is that a fact or is that you're just surmising that?
I'm just surmising that. I mean, okay. And you know what? In y'all's defense, maybe there are some veneers that do look more natural and they're so natural that I don't notice. And that's why.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But it seems like more often than not, people are getting ones that are too big for their mouth and they're too white. And I have watched some TikToks. I do know you can pick what color. You can pick what color.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can. But it seems like no one is, or not, again, not no one, but like more people should be picking that more natural off-white color.
Yeah, I think, we are slowly headed toward like being the capital in the Hunger Games. Like next year, people gonna have whiskers in a second. Because like, honestly, because like, you're right, that they're too big for people's mouths. And sometimes when people like get the budget veneers, I know nothing about veneers, so class, you know, read me for filth. They're too big. And then sometimes y'all just get the top rack and leave the bottom rack alone. Yeah. And I'm like, first of all, they're two different colors. Yeah. And the bottom aren't as straight as the top, right?
Here's the thing too, is I've seen way too many people saying that they've lost one or popped out while they're eating or something. And it's it just seems hella risky.
Can you imagine like waking up and like a tooth is gone? Where is it? You ate it. You swallowed it.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. No. I don't like it. And again, my fix is y'all, if you're going to do it, do off white. It's still, your teeth are still going to be white, but it just looks a little bit more natural.
I will say this. This is why I'm glad I'm rocking this melanated skin, because as yellow as my teeth can be, they still look white. They still look white out here in the street.
Yeah,
because I feel like they're yellow, and people will look at me and they're like, I don't think so, and I'm like, that's because I'm melanated.
I will say I was putting together, I'm like editing like something for a project, and I was looking at old clips, and I was like, oh my God, my teeth were not white. They were not. Some of those clips are going to be turning up the brightness on them a little bit.
Yes, girl. I overstand. Yo, as a photographer, that is one of my tricks. I go in and I go brighten those teeth a little bit.
Change that temperature. Just cool it off a little bit.
You better cool it off. She said, I'm going there in that tent. Oh my God, I'm dead. I'm so dead. The other thing I want to say about the veneers in relationship to plastic surgery, because like, listen, the algorithm is strong. Instagram, I look at one video and all of a sudden it's like abs. Now it's like all these plastic surgery things like that are in that like search thing, you know, that you go to search window. Istanbul, Turkey has all of the world's money.
Everybody is going to Turkey. Hair plugs.
Oh my God. Story really quick. I was at this friend's birthday party and another friend came up to me and he was like, oh, that guy's cute. And I was like, girl, she's giving turkey in the front, meaning like, yeah, plugs. And then he was like, huh? And I was like, what? And he was like, nothing. Looked up at the hairline. I was like, oh, you're giving turkey in the front. He was like, but you didn't notice. I was like, I didn't notice. So good job, turkey.
Until he heard the magic words.
Yeah.
Whatever they are doing in Turkey, they're getting the girls together. Everybody's going there. Wellness is
really cheap. It's really cheap, too. I think so.
Yeah, because they're getting going there for teeth also.
Yeah, and I've seen a couple before and afters, and I'm like, I mean, it's dramatic. Mm-hmm. Some of the plastic surgery is very dramatic. And, you know, they're anglicizing their entire face, but whatever.
Yeah.
But they're doing good work. They do, if you want, you know, not an advertisement for plastic surgery on the pod, but.
You know, again, do what you want to do. I would be worried about flying back after surgery because it's a long, long flight and like the altitude, like, wouldn't you
you might puff up?
Yeah. Like, wouldn't you think that? Cause I don't know if you've seen, there's like a viral clip a few years ago. A lot of the girls were going to, Brazil to get BBLs. And there was like this clip of all, it was like the whole flight was girls that had gotten BBLs. And it was a row of girls in wheelchairs going to getting on the plane. And then you can't sit on your butt. So they're all sitting up, like, you know, like they're like a little, like a dog begging for a little snack, sitting in the seat backwards so that their butt isn't sitting. And it was the whole plane. The whole plane.
You please send this to me. How do they buckle in?
I have no idea. And the thing is like, to your point about people going these places because they're cheaper, you're really supposed to, at least for like a BBL or something, you need to recover. But it seemed like these girls were going to get the cheap version and then trying to go straight home, which is very dangerous. And you got to be on that flight. You know, like, hours on the flight.
I mean, what do you call this? Like medical tourism? I think medical tourism. I do think that they build in the case of Istanbul and Turkey, I think they built in time after because some people like make it like they take 2 weeks off and then they get the surgery and then they have to like stay in a hotel for whatever. And it's like a package. Like you get getting your nose done. It also comes with a hotel and a flight and, you know, and you get to be by the beach. I'm kidding.
Oh my God. Yeah. I would be so worried about the flight back. Not to mention the fact, you know, when you try to get off the plane and everyone's rushing and you're getting bumped and jostled around. That's the one. You don't want to get bumped and jostled.
No.
I have been smacked in the head, in the face so many times trying to get off the plane.
Can you fucking imagine? You just got your nose done. Boop.
You just got a whole row of teeth. And this motherfucker can't get his carry-on out of the overhead compartment. It fucks you up.
One just fell out. Oh, damn.
No. Listen,
that's an episode or something.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
So my next one, speaking of episodes, back to Seinfeld. Class, tell me why the ambiance in restaurants has just become a nightclub. Why has it become a nightclub? And what do I mean by that? This makes me an old man. I just think in the quest to like create a vibe, they've like upped the music so much.
Oh, the music is
even.
We're old.
You're the person you're sitting next to. I mean, so old.
We're old. But yeah, the music has gotten very loud.
It's crazy. The music is loud. And like, I'm at the restaurant to be with the date that I'm with, my friend, my partner, whatever. And not only the music, but the lights are all dim. I can't even see you across the table. Yeah. It's becoming too much. And again, I think it is a quest to like make this the place to be, make it, you know, vibey, you know, make it very Soho housey. And I'm like, yeah, yo, I'm here for like community, socializing, and food, right? I'm not here to be cool. I am cool, but I'm not here to be seen. You know what I mean? And like,
that's why they got the lights down. So nobody sees you.
They want to see your ugly ass.
You're like, I'm sorry, is the light off over my table? Yes, the other tables have complained.
They go, you're welcome.
Other people are trying to eat and they don't want to see your face.
They want to see your elephant looking ass. Dead. But I just like, so my fix for this is, yes, I'm an old man, class. Mm-hmm. But my fix for this is, I think like either if you have a bigger space, which I live in New York, they don't. But if you have like a two-floored space, like create a quiet car, as they do on Amtrak, like create a quiet floor, and or have like quiet hours, like from 4 to 8, that's when you come, and it's like a chill ambiance where the lights are up and the music is low, you know? And then like at 8 o'clock, you can turn up, you know, come and get your cocktails and have a good time.
I think that's a great idea. My pitch was going to be way more expensive and unreasonable. I was going to be like, everyone should get a little booth, a little private
a COVID booth.
Well, remember when they were doing that during COVID? They had like that's what booths I mean, yeah. outside. Yeah, I was like, bring that back, but it would be really expensive. I think the vibe hour is really cute.
Ooh, that's sexy. Good branding. Good branding. Yeah,
you know. So then you have the time where you could. It's very COVID also, because remember when the grocery stores were doing like a special hour for the elderly?
Oh, for the elderly, because we were mowing them down trying to get the groceries. Yeah.
Right. And so they were like, let's have a time for them. And, you know, people mm-hmm. who are maybe like immunocompromised, where it's like
yes.
strict masking type of thing. I think mm-hmm. that's a great idea for restaurants. It's like, those of y'all who are 40 plus, you can't do loud music and you need to be able to read the menu. We'll also have paper what? Menus. No QR codes. I'm sorry.
I hate
coming to a restaurant and they're like, just scan the QR code. I'm like, that ugly little thing.
Well, and then you're deep in the restaurant and you have no internet connection, or like your phone no. isn't connected Mm-mm. to like the fucking tower or whatever.
No, give me a paper menu.
I'm so dead about like, I can't read the menu because I haven't reached this point yet, but some of my older friends like need readers, you know, mm-hmm. and like if they don't have the readers, they like take the candle from the table and they're like holding it up, like moving the
oh yeah back. That's where I'm at. So that's where funny. I'm first of all, to your point, not only is it dark, but then the only light y'all have in here is purple, so like of course I can't fucking see.
Totally. And you're ambiance. They're trying to create a fucking
and
vibe.
I'm looking
it's
on
ridiculous.
My screen. And it's too much. Pick one ambiance thing. It's either the music, the lighting, or the menu. You can't have all three.
You can't have it all. You can't have it all. The other thing is I would add to this is like, what if you're having a business meeting? I guess then choose a different restaurant. I've done that. I've walked in and been like, not this place. The music's too loud. You know, mm-hmm. what if you're trying to have a business meeting? One woman I went to, listen, it was 4:00. I made a reservation for 4:00 for some people that were in town in New York to see my show. We went to the restaurant at 4:30. They beefed the music up. We were the only people in the fucking restaurant. And I was like screaming over the table. And I was like, let me just go and ask her.
It's also 4:30. Like, what vibe is anyone trying to catch?
Calm all the way down. So I was like, I went to the hostess. I was like, I'm so sorry. I hate to be that person. Could you just turn the music down a little bit? Looked at me blank, stared at me blank, and was like, I guess. I was like, you guess? And I asked so nicely. I was like, what is the stank attitude for?
Yeah, and it's always anyway. Some music.
It was. Listen, I love Beyonce as much as the next picks, but I was like, why am I listening to Baby Boy
screaming.
Over my fucking burger?
Screaming at you.
Totally. Oh my God. Okay, what's your next one?
All right, I'm trying something new for my last topic, and I'm going to share someone else's fix because I don't know if you've heard about this 4B movement. Have you heard about this one?
No, it sounds like a vitamin supplement, though.
No, there is a new movement, a feminist movement coming out of South Korea, also known as the birth strike or the marriage strike. It was founded in 2019, but it's really starting to get a lot of press coverage. The 4B stands for four different no's. It's Bihon, no marriage. I'm probably saying this wrong. Bisku.
Oh, is this in Korean?
Yes. Bisku, okay. No sex with men. Bishulan, no child rearing. And Bione, no dating men. The girls are fed up. The girls in Korea.
The girls are lesbians now.
They, you know what? They're not even saying we're going to go lesbian. We're just like, we're just not doing what y'all are. We're just abstaining. Yeah. And it's really in an effort to combat this extreme patriarchal and misogynistic culture. They're, again, giving up dating men, marriage, sex, and having children.
Wow.
Supposedly, it got started with these YouTubers and took off on TikTok and social media. And there's been a few different catalysts. Now, look, patriarchy and misogyny exist everywhere. But apparently in Korea, there's been a number of high-profile murders of women.
Are you kidding?
No. There was an instance where a man killed this young woman in a public bathroom because she ignored him, but then the police wouldn't classify it as a hate crime. And it was like just, it was like that domino effect, right? Where like it started this conversation about misogyny and patriarchy. Yeah. There's also been a prevalence of these spy cam sex crimes. Have you heard about this? Where people are using like cameras under women's skirts, like on the bus and stuff like that. That's become really popular. And apparently there was an instance where a 25-year-old woman shared a drawing of a nude male model that she had done in class, and she got sentenced to 10 months in prison. It was she was charged with like disseminating pornographic material, but then these sex crimes are happening and nothing's being done about it. So the women were like, you know what we're about to do?
Fuck y'all.
Not fuck y'all. Exactly. it's really interesting because I've seen a lot of people talking about it on TikTok, because what's now happened, here we are in 2024, and I'm the nervous. Birth rate in Korea, South Korea, has dipped lower than it's ever been in history. The kindergarten classes are empty. They are having
really
dramatically low enrollment rates in kindergarten. And it lines up with, if this movement started in 2019, your kids should be around 5 years old, which is like kindergarten age. It's really interesting because they are worried about teachers being able to work, the economy suffering. And for me, it's like, look, guys, the underlying problem is the rampant misogyny and sexism, and that's what these women are you know, speaking out against.
Right. Listen to what's being said, right? The other thing, I mean, this is why, you know, we have a really kind of, not really, not kind of, we have a very patriarchal society here in America that's based in Christianity, based in religion. And I think that's where a lot of the like anti-abortion, anti-contraception, all of that kind of stuff comes from, because our birth rates are a little low as well. That's also just because as millennials in particular, I know we complain a lot, class, but like, we don't have houses. We don't have any of the things that were guaranteed to the generations before. So I can't afford children.
That's literally what they're saying too. They're like, it's too expensive.
It's too expensive. And I would also, you know, my brain just goes to the Handmaid's Tale, right? Because it is a patriarchal society. Then like they're going to force people to have.
I mean, that's why it feels like they're getting rid of abortion. That's why it feels like they're getting rid of birth control. 100%. They're going to force people's hands. And you know, this 4B movement is definitely having consequences, but I will say it is really inspiring to see women taking their power back in this way.
Talk about that.
And like, and also just changing the narrative around what it means to be single and child free. Like a lot of like, and it's, I'm seeing it happen in the States too, where a lot of women are saying, look, it's really rough trying to date men, and I would rather just not do it. And a partner, no matter what sexuality you have, a partner is supposed to be additive to your
100%.
Life. It's not supposed to be more work. It's not supposed to drag you down, right? And so a lot of people are just opting out. A lot of women are opting out. And so, you know,
I was just talking to my friend who went on a date over the weekend about her date, and the way she was vetting this guy, I was like, yo, this is so, I was like saying to her, I was like, this is a lot. Why does he have to pass all those bars? And she was like, I'm not for nothing, DeLon, but you don't date heterosexual men. She was like, I've dated enough of them. And like, I know that this means generally this, this means generally that. I was like, yo, I am so sorry. The shit you have to do to exist with men is a lot. It's just too much. It's too
much. Have you heard about these Facebook groups? Are we dating the same guy?
No.
There are these Facebook groups for different cities. It's like, are we dating the same guy, Miami? And if you are about to go on a date with someone, you go to the Facebook group and you like put their info in there, and then people will be like, yeah, girl,
run.
Yeah. They'll be like, run, don't date him. Or sometimes they're like, oh, he's a really great guy. Like, we've stayed friends or whatever. That's my brother or something like that. But to your point about having to vet, this is what, it, again, I, as a former hetero, as a recovering hetero, I'm holding true to my sobriety. Sometimes I've been tested a few times. I said, you gotta work that program.
She's got her monthly coins, not to make fun of people in recovery, but she got her monthly coins. Yo. Oh, yeah. I feel like your sponsor, okay, girl?
Oh, thank you. You are my sponsor. Yes, because look, every day I hear stories about the women out here who are still trying to date men, and it's rough out there. The last one I dated, it's rough. It's rough out here. And so these groups, these communities have popped up in order to help protect women. And it's sad that we need them, but it's also really beautiful that women are like, yo, we looking out for each other, because that's all we have to hold ourselves down. And ultimately, being single or not having children is not the end of your life. And I'm so thankful that, you know, this movement, I'm sad that it has to exist, but I'm glad that it's changing the narrative around what it means to be child-free, not childless, child-free, as in, you know, a decision that you have made, and to be a non-married person.
What I love about it too is that, like, I think sometimes we forget to, like, look back in history and look back in the timeline and remember the ways in which society, culture, humans have evolved. You know, like in the 50s, it was about, you know, in America anyway, it was that, like, all American Leave It to Beaver kind of a house, two kids in a garage and a dog, right? That picturesque kind of fake lifestyle. But, like, remember, there was a time where, like, everyone was a little queer, you know, in different societies. In the Roman society, men would have sex with men, women have sex with women all the time. Yeah. So, like, there have been different times where, like, the culture has evolved. And what I respect about this movement as well is that it's an evolution, like, out in a vacuum of fixes for the issue. Women have gone, this is what we need to do, and they've all lobbed onto it, and hopefully for the better. I love it too. I love it.
Yeah, shout out to y'all. I mean, look, I'm like, I'm a trendsetter, but I not really. Ooh. I'm just no kids, not married, I'm not getting laid. So, you know, again, I solidarity to y'all.
We need a bit of a better sell on the end. Not getting laid.
Well,
you can fix the last part.
Well, I will say I have had a recent applicant, and the application is being reviewed. We're checking the references.
Okay. Yes. Girl, I just be over here having appointments. You know, I've been having tune-ups is what I be having. But I literally told my therapist recently, I was like, when I come back, I'm currently working in Boston. When I come back, like, I need to, like, sit down and, like, really do some soul searching and, like, go on dates, because I want to find a partner. It's been a long time since I've had, like...
I feel like you're always saying that, though. You're always like, you know what? I really want to find a partner. It's like you and that Spain trip. So, you know what?
Listen,
I'm going to get serious about that. I'm going to buckle down. I'm gonna find a partner. Come on. I mean, I believe in you, but you have to actually start going on dates.
My sister said to me recently, she was like, I was saying the same thing just about how people have been in long-term relationships for like 10, 13, multiple year-long relationships. And she was like, Jalan, I just feel like when you're ready, you're going to do it. She was like, you can go get a boyfriend tomorrow if you want. And I was like, could I really?
she's not wrong. Could.
Clearly, I don't want it, right? Clearly,
I'm not. Yeah, and it's also the thing of, like, quality, right? Like, you could go and get somebody right now, but are they going to be the right person for you? Are you trying to get somebody just for the purpose of getting someone? I only tease you because I know you, and I know that if serious partnership is what you want, it has to be like a part-time job. Like, you have to be going on dates. You have to be going to events. You know, and I sent you already. Some events. I was like, oh, this is a party that's happening in New York. Like, you have to go. You have to be like, I'm doing this. And it's hard for us because a lot of our friends are married and in long-term relationships. It's not like in college. You have to be like, I am trying to meet someone. And, you know, for me, that's not really my goal right now, so I'm okay. But if that's what you want, you have to be like, I'm putting aside dedicated time to this. And
and that,
you know, not hooking up, you know, you try to get to know people
No. Listen.
I mean, you can hook up, but you know what I'm saying? It has to be
girl, I gotta wet that whistle every now and again, girl. I mean, a man's gotta eat.
Yeah, but then you know what ends up happening? You have somebody you have amazing sexual chemistry with, and you don't fucking know them.
100%. And we're at that point where, like, that we do, like, to my friend's point with that date, you do have to vet, you know?
Yes.
So my last topic, class, is, you know, I watch a lot of politics, mm-hmm. and we're in an election year. Congress and the government, we all have our opinions. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I just think, like, we need to restructure the things. Mm. And I think the first step is term limits.
Yeah.
I don't understand why these, like, and sure, we can talk about Joe Biden or whatever. I don't care where y'all are at on Joe Biden. I really don't. Please vote. Please vote. Don't vote for Donald Trump. But I really don't care where you're on Joe Biden. But it's just like, there's no space for new blood. There's no space for new ideas when these people are holding on to power for so long. And then that's the disillusionment that I think the rest of us feel. You're like, why is X person, they go, oh, he's retiring after 35 years in the Senate.
You should not be. 35
years.
No.
No. And no. I get it. Like, these people are career politicians. Like, that's the thing that they've decided to do. But is that good for the country? Is that good for the, and I also would argue the Supreme Court really needs term limits.
Yeah.
Need to, like, and I want it to be like, they don't know when the term's over. I wanted to blindside your ass and be like, oh no, your shit's done in now.
Well, the other thing, to your point about, like, needing fresh blood, I think the problem with career politicians is they stop being normal people. And we need normal people. Like, you want somebody who has the intellectual capacity and like the drive and all that other stuff. But at some point, these politicians have become so disconnected from regular people's problems that we're all like, actually, milk is like $20. And they're like, what is it? They're like, just stop eating avocado toast. And it's like, avocado toast is not the problem. Like, what? You have too many iPhones. It's like, you have not had a regular ass job in 20, 30 years, if ever. Right. You know, the people that are like, you're unemployed, just go knock on some businesses and ask them. That's not how you get a job anymore. Y'all don't know what it's like.
The whole system, the whole paradigm just, like, is broken because to your point, it just becomes about self-interest so quickly. Because mm-hmm. if you're in the Senate's every 6 years, they vote, you know, you're up for election every 6 years, but the House of Representatives is every 2 years. So you're nonstop campaigning. Lobbyists are giving you money, right? So then, like, who are you beholden to? You're not beholden to your voters until it's time for them to vote for your ass.
Yeah.
And you're also beholden to the lobbyists who are giving you money. So then there's, like, all of this interest around you, and it becomes like, how do I survive because I have bills to pay, you know? And it's not about, and that's not to say all politicians are that. Like, I know a lot of people get in public service because they're altruistic, they really do, you know, want to see the country change or do better, la la la, insert the blank. It's just, like, inevitable that it becomes about self-interest, you know? Yeah. And I get it. It's about self-preservation. Like, we're both artists. We are both out here gigging, trying to get these, carry the two, you know, balance the one so we can pay this rent. I get it. But I just think, like, if you want to go into public service, and I can tell that this is to another fix I had, another round robins of, like, having everyone needing to do some kind of public service, right? If you want, public service can be being in Congress for 10 years or whatever it is, but, and you can still be effective in 10 years. I just don't think it should be 35 years. I don't think, you know, I know Nancy Pelosi, y'all did a lot of good stuff for the Democrats and for the country and whatever, but Nancy, like, be done.
Dianne
Feinstein was a senator from California. Woman died in office.
Yeah.
Like, let go.
She should have been home. She should have been home long before that.
I'm still mad at Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I'm still mad at Ruth Bader Ginsburg for all that cancer stuff and not just letting go and letting someone else in.
Well, like, I want to shout out an organization called Run for Something.
Talk about it.
And they are a nonprofit organization that helps first-time candidates in all different sorts of appointments, local government, all the way up to Congress. And they have a few candidates who've actually made it to Congress. They're really incredible.
One in Florida, I think, recently.
Yeah, they've had people every election. They get a few, and they're really incredible. If you are somebody who has it on your spirit to get involved in politics, and again, it doesn't mean that you have to give up your whole life and run for Congress. You could, you know, do something on a smaller level, like your local school board, comptroller. Yes. There's all of these different things that you
can get. Local politics, absolutely.
And they will really help you do it. They'll train you. They will help you raise money. They will get you in connected with potential donors. And I did some work with them last year, and I'm going to follow up with them ahead of this election and see what it is I can do. Cause I did some like Instagram live streams with some Florida candidates, which was really incredible. And I'm now still connected with them on Instagram. So definitely check out runforsomething.org. And if you can't run, they will tell you progressive politicians that are running where you live. You can literally fill out the form and say, like, these are the issues that are important to me. And they'll tell you, oh, you should send $5 to this person, or we're having a camp, you know, a fundraiser or whatever we're doing. Because to your point, Delon, it does feel... I also feel disillusioned, and I also feel frustrated that I'm like one person, and it's often like, what am I supposed to do? And so it's nice to have an organization like Run for Something that says, here's what you do. Give $5 to this person. And you're like, you know what? Okay, great. I did it. You know, it's not going to change the world, but I feel like I made a meaningful difference. I'm going to follow this person on Instagram. I'm going to, you know, have conversations with my community, whatever. Because otherwise it feels so overwhelming to think about all of the things.
Yeah. And I can't remember this kid's name. I tried to look it up. I think it's either David Hoff, who was part of the Parkland shooting that happened in Florida.
Yeah.
He has an organization that also looks for candidates to run for office. Mm-hmm. And so just want to shout that out too, because that's another way to run, you know. And to your point, I really love the idea. Like it is about the local school boards. It is about your city council.
Those are the battlegrounds.
Right. The state senate. It is about, to your point, comptroller, right? Mm-hmm. How can you be effective in your neighborhood, right? Where you live. I dated a guy who was very active in like I forget what it's called, like not city council, but like the neighborhood decisions that are being made, which is also populated by a lot of, you know, septuagenarians, octogenarians,
because they show are retired. Up. They are they showing up to that stuff.
Well, and they also have the people with the property. So like they want to make decisions around their neighborhood about the property too. Mm-hmm. So Run for Something. I'm glad you brought that up.
All right, friends, tell us what it is that you would like to fix in your life, or let us know what you thought about our fixes over on Instagram at fixitpod, or you can email us letmefixitpod@gmail.com. And now it is time for everyone's favorite segment, the glow up, where we give props to those who've turned themselves around without our help. But first, let's take a quick break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And we are back. Delon, how about you go first?
How about I go first? So I'm giving my glow up to science fiction. I think science fiction has been very clairvoyant and is becoming even more clairvoyant. You know, those dystopian stories, the dystopian movies we've seen, Handmaid's Tale, we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
They are coming true.
Oh yeah.
And I just want to y'all said it, y'all wrote the stories, and now like you really created the framework. AI,
I'm pissed that we didn't listen.
Well, and let this be the warning here right now, 2024, right? Like now that we see it coming, people are like, oh my God, AI is replacing us. AI has been slowly replacing. When was the last time you went to a Target, a CVS, and someone checked you out?
right.
to a grocery store to check you out. Right. AI has been slowly replacing us for years. So I think this is the wake-up call. But I mean, let's just point it out, right? There's EVs. They're talking about electric vehicles and flying vehicles on the Jetsons, you know?
They really were.
Virtual reality. Virtual reality was just, remember Tron? The movie Tron in the mm-hmm. 80s was just like, oh my gosh, what if it's slowly happening? It costs $4,000 for a set of glasses, but space travel. I was a big Trekkie, Star Trek fan. Mm-hmm. We are now, you know, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos is creating hotels in space for folks.
I have a question. Why can't we teleport? I feel like we should be able to teleport.
If there's one thing that I want, it's that. Like, I want to get into a booth and send my ass to Spain. Airplane checker things and send my ass right to another country. Yes.
It feels like somebody would have figured that out, because honestly, who wants to go to space? It's cold up there. You can't breathe. You can't breathe. You have to wear a whole thing. It's hard to take a shower. You're eating dry food out of a bag. I don't want to go to fucking space. I want to be able to go to another country in 10 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, listen, I also like, if we can 3D print food, like, y'all can figure out how to teleport people.
If we can make Beyond Meat, that should taste like real meat.
It bleeds like real meat, which is the real problem.
Right.
Like, that is...
So we can do that, but we can't teleport?
I know. And the only way I really want to go to space is if I'm glamping in space. Like, I really want to be in a Star Trek spaceship. And I mean, the last thing I'll bring up about science fiction having a glow up being clairvoyant is, remember that movie The Day After Tomorrow, where all those natural disasters, it was like flooding and tornadoes and hurricanes tsunamis. That is now here, friends. That is now here.
I don't know if you've read the parables yet, but that was a big part of
you bought me that book.
The big part of those books was all of the devastation that climate change had wrought on the country. And it was like, most of Florida was underwater. Texas was an island.
I mean, listen, New York is going to be underwater at some point. I'm so real.
There was an earthquake in New York.
Oh my God.
There was an earthquake in New York. Oh, you weren't there because you're in Boston.
I wasn't there. But everyone's texting like, girl, did you feel that?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
And remember, we had a hurricane. It was an earthquake and a hurricane happening Los Angeles.
Los Angeles is having all of it happen. Y'all had a hurricane.
A hurricane. Let me tell you, Delon, I've lived here for 4 years. I've maybe felt two earthquakes. One woke me up in the middle of the night one time. I didn't know what it was. It was like, something woke me up. And I was like, what the fuck? Next day, everyone was like, oh, it was an earthquake. When that earthquake happened, I was laying on my couch and my window was swaying. And I was like, what the fuck? And it felt like it was like an internal shimmy was happening, which is what was so confusing. As I was like, is something happening?
She was like, that's her dipping it low? Wait a minute.
Literally, I was like, am I twerking? Like, it was the strangest feeling. And it was when I looked at the window that I knew it was the building and not me. You know how, like,
that's so trippy.
When you're sick, you have like chills or something, and you have a little, or you have a little shiver sometimes that happens. That's what it felt like. But it didn't stop. Like, it was a sustained feeling. It was
scary. That's really crazy, because the only I talked about like theme parks on the episode a lot, or at one point for my glow up, and like that's the only time other than like in, well, not even a plane. The plane, you still feel the gravity, that I felt weightless. It's like that kind of like disassociation of like what's happening. Like, I can't put my
Your
finger on it.
Your whole reality is being tested. It's very surreal. Yeah.
The last thing I'll say about the science fiction thing, I said last thing, but one more thing. I was listening to another podcast. I think it was The Daily. They were talking about how they created something to launch up into the sky to create clouds to reflect the sun's energy and heat back up. Because that's one of the reasons the Earth is warming. And I was like, that sounds like a science fiction movie where you're going to put something up in the air and the whole planet is going to freeze over.
Well, I'm glad they're thinking about it. I mean, shout out to them. Y'all better figure this shit out.
You better.
Because remember we were all talking about the ozone? What happened to the ozone layer?
She did. She gone.
Like, we have the hole in the ozone, and then we just don't talk about it anymore.
because I honestly, because it was like a CO2 thing that was killing.
We killed the ozone.
We killed it. They were like, she is gone.
Oh, I didn't know.
So what is your glow up?
My glow up goes to Missy, Misdemeanor Elliott, Busta Rhymes, and Ciara. They are officially going on tour with special guest Timbaland. And I honestly, this is great. I love this for them. Now,
me too.
I don't know what my coined situation is going to look like when the tour gets announced. The tour announcement video looked very expensive. So I have a feeling the ticket's going to be very pricey. I will say, maybe Busta Rhymes is listening. Did I tell you at Vanity Fair, Busta Rhymes hugged me and was like, it's good to see you. And I was like, we don't know each other.
You did not tell me this.
He was like, hey, sis. And I was like, hi. So maybe Busta Rhymes will gift me a ticket. But if he doesn't,
Bus-a-bus,
if you really want to party with me, put your hands where your eyes can see. I'll be there. He's
That's my Busta impression.
That's your Busta impression?
Yeah. You know that really fast rap song he has?
Everyone. Every single one is fast.
That's kind of his, like, that's his flow. I wonder if, like, when he met you at Vanity Fair, if that's just, like, his thing. He, like, no matter who you are, he's like, oh, hey, girl, good to see you.
I don't know.
Because, like, it eliminates not knowing who the person is and, like, getting fucked up about it, right, later on.
Yeah, I mean, he said it with such conviction that I was like, do I know Busta Rhymes? But I've never met him before.
He's seen you in his dreams.
Oh, well, please don't. The 4B includes no Busta Rhymes dreams.
That's the 5th B?
Yeah, no, that's Busta. The 5th B. No Busta. Yeah, I think this tour is way long overdue. I have said it many times before. Missy really deserves her flowers. And it's I just feel like she has, for whatever reason, not gotten the well-deserved attention for the way that she was, like, instrumental in changing hip hop for female rappers. As a plus-sized woman, as a woman who was talking about her sexuality in really creative ways, like, she was,
but also, like, not being sexualized, right? She was wearing big t-shirts and, like, she was wearing outfits. It wasn't titties and ass.
She was owning her sexuality, but without being, like, commodified. But then she also was, like, a singer, a producer, a writer, like. And what always blows my mind, anytime a Missy song comes on when I'm in the gym, the songs hold up so well.
Still fire.
Nothing about the production sounds dated. Nothing.
Still a bop. Well, because to your point, we talked about Timbaland on another episode. I forget which one it was, but like, but they were in the same.
Innovative.
They were doing really weird things that were like, whoa, what is that? Or you were talking about Justin Timberlake and the album Timbaland produced for him. There were interesting sounds that are still interesting because they were not typical. You know, they didn't sound like anything else. Totally
innovative. Yeah. I'm so excited for them to go on this tour. Again, I don't know if I will be there, but it's long overdue. The nostalgia factor is going to be on 100. This is like the millennials playground. And also shout out to Ciara getting back out there. You know,
right after having another baby, 11 kids.
Listen, one thing Ciara is going to do, she going to snap back and give you body.
She really does.
She's an incredible dancer. I feel like this is going to be such a fun concert. And also what I love about it is, like, these are three musicians who have worked together a bajillion times. They're collaborators, they're friends. Like, you know, they're excited to go on tour together versus tours are announced and you're like, that's random. Like, why are they together? But this makes perfect sense.
It really does. And I think back to Missy Elliott for a second, I do think that her illness and her dropping off because she was sick really kind of stopped her trajectory.
Yeah.
Not that she was a huge star and still is in her, right? But I think, like, she kind of lost a generation after us because she was gone for so long and not creating, you know. But bitch is back. Let's go. We're ready, Missy.
Yes. Oh, I'm so happy that she's back.
So now, friends, that is our episode, but you know we want to hear from you. Are you going to the Missy Busta Ciara concert? Are you millennial like us? Do you even know who Missy Elliott is? Do you remember when, like, they really, the kids at the Super Bowl were like,
who is this? This is a great artist.
And they were like, the music is amazing. Who is that woman? Yeah, I remember. Oh, I was angry about it for weeks.
Or like we always say, please suggest a TV show, a celebrity, or brand we can fix for the future. Also, nobody has sent us any of their own personal fixes. We want to fix your problems.
Send us your problems.
Gross. So hit us up on Instagram at fixitpod or email us letmefixitpod@gmail.com. Letmefixitpod@gmail.com.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to give us a rating on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app. And I'm going to say this again, because friends, those ratings help us. And also, we are nominated for a Webby Award.
Webby Award.
So please, we're probably going to lose to LeVar Burton. And I'm okay with that. But I still would like for us to make a good showing of it. You can vote one time. The link is on our Instagram. Or you could just go to the Webby Awards. We're under Arts and Culture Podcast. Please vote for us. But again, if you're on iTunes, if you're on Spotify, give us a rating. Give us a review. Every single one helps. We appreciate the support. It means a lot.
I'm DeLon.
And I'm Francesca. And this was Let Me Fix It.